warned Greg earlier today, just let him know that this is his only warning, but I'm going to give a second warning now. So just fully expect them to be singing 15, 20 songs during youth week. Amen. Yeah. It's a blessing. I thank the Lord for that.
Yes, amen.
Listen, if people say I'm not naturally a singer, it doesn't come natural. I mean, I know you all have heard my tremendous singing. It doesn't come natural. It just doesn't. Amen. It took a lot of work to get this far. You can imagine. Amen. You can imagine when somebody actually can sing what they have to go through. And so I want to thank the Lord for the good singing. Thank the Lord for the fellowship, for the good meal we had today. Tonight, I'm going to just I don't know. It felt like I was a little hard this morning. So I'm going to try to lighten up, preach a little feel-good message tonight out of Proverbs 26. Sometimes in evangelism, you know, you just feel like there's so much you put so much pressure on people, and there's always that temptation to let up, and then you realize what's at stake, and then you don't let up, and you just keep the pressure on in hopes that God would work in hearts and lives. We want the Lord to work. We want the Lord to speak to you. We want the Lord to minister to your needs tonight. That's our desire. That's our heart's desire. I'm going to read one verse. And simply preach this message tonight on mistakes that fools make. There are mistakes that are unique to fools. I did preach this at Vernon's several months ago. Those of you that might, I don't know if he put it on the website or not, but it's just something that God laid on my heart many years ago dealing with the fool. And so, chapter 26, verse 11 of Proverbs. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. It's simply the mistakes that fools make. Fools uniquely have mistakes that they continue to return to time and time again because they're bound up in their own foolishness. I believe, I can look at my little note in the front here, I believe it's 89 times something like that. Yeah, I believe that's what it is. That fools, foolish, foolishly, fools in plurality, fools in the possessive, are used in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is used 54 times. Wise is used 65 times. But 89 times, Proverbs mentions a fool or the foolishness or fools, again, in the plurality of multiple fools or also in the possessive of to own as fools would own. Very serious Proverbs dealing with the fool. And our text verse said this, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Brother John, since you're here now, would you just pray for us, please?
Certainly. Father, I want to thank you for the chance to come here and hear Brother McVeigh. Thank you for the Anchor Baptist Church hosting him here. And I just pray, give him liberty, Lord. Help him now to preach what he needs to preach tonight. Loosen things up. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have 62 verses for reference tonight. If we look up every one and spend 2 minutes on it, we'll be here 124 minutes, 2 hours and 4 minutes. That leaves me no time for an introduction or comments. And so, let alone a close of the message. So I'm just going to go as fast as I can, and we'll just hitch up and then unhook where the Lord has us. But if you go to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to look at the first mistake, I believe, or one of the great mistakes that fools make. And he simply says this in our passage, Proverbs 1 and verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Fools hate knowledge. And I don't mean in the intellectual sense, because there are many fools that have a wealth of information they've learned. But what he's speaking here, I believe, in the context is in verse 7, that fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't like to be told what to do. They can't follow instruction. That's why they can't follow the word of God, because they can't follow instruction. Let me just say to us that are saved in this room tonight that a child of God can act foolish. He can act as a fool. He can mimic a fool. He can do things that are reserved for fools to do. But in his own thinking, when he despises instruction and despises wisdom, he can act like a fool. In verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. But then he said, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools hate knowledge. You turn to chapter 2 of Proverbs. We see the wise man here, and he is, in verse 2, he's inclined his ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. If thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then he tells us, he defines for us what wisdom, what understanding we ought to seek, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What is that knowledge that fools despise? It's the knowledge of God. That's why the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't want to understand God. He's not the slightest bit interested in understanding God. He's already rejected anything he's ever heard about God. And he's done away with the very thought of God. That's why he's a fool. It doesn't say he says with his lips. I with my lips could say there is no God, but it does not negate what's in my heart. My heart simply says that there is a God. But the fool has said in his heart there is no God. The fool's very being is based on the foolishness of denying the word of God, denying the understanding of God, and that's why he's a fool. That's why he does foolishly. Can I say this, and I'm going to go to a verse back in Proverbs 21 again, if you'll turn with me. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. A foolish man takes that which is given to him and spends it up foolishly. Why? Because a dog returneth to its vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Part of the problem they have is they think that prosperity will make them better.
Yes, sir.
And the prosperity will change the outcome. You realize that wealthy fool is still a fool.
Yeah.
An educated fool is still a fool.
That's right.
A beautiful fool is still a fool.
Yes.
It doesn't matter the appearance. It doesn't matter what external things change. It doesn't matter your success in life. I remember quite a few years ago watching a documentary on, well, we preach, we're against YouTube or something else. Internet something. Anyway, I watched this documentary on YouTube, and it was about lottery winners. And it basically was the idea was, how do you spend your excess? How do you blow your winnings of the lottery? And they followed the husband and wife, $300+ million, lump sum they took from the lottery, and they went like everybody that wins the lottery, and they bought a ranch in Montana. They didn't know it snowed in Montana, and they hate the snow. And they're trying to unload their, you know, $17 or $20 million ranch in Montana, and they can't unload it because they paid way too much for it. Because, to be honest, the realtor sees lottery ticket, what, you know, coming in. How's he going to negotiate? I want to spend $17 million. Okay, we'll find you something. He said, there's no negotiation. So now they're buried in this ranch. They're buried in this piece of property. They spent all this money for it. No thought given to it. Why? Because they're foolish and their money just flies out the door. They have no thought for tomorrow. They have no thought to lay up for their children or their children's children. But can I say this more than anything? They've never invested in the things of God.
Yes.
The greatest investment made is the things of God.
That's right.
Given it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall man give into your bosom. That's a promise that God made that is still applicable to us today. We don't give to get, but if we do give, God will certainly take care of our in the singular need. God will take care of those that consider others above themselves. But you see, the fool can't do that. The fool has to squander. The fool has to spend. The fool is going to spend up the treasure and the oil in his dwelling. They're supposing that prosperity will make them better. Supposing that prosperity will make them different. Psalm 73, would you turn back there with me? I want you to see a picture of a man who was almost taken in that foolishness. And the Lord has used this passage greatly, I know, in my own life to help me. And the psalmist in Psalm 73 says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had nigh well slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he envied fools when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. So what does he do? His feet are slipping. He's looking at foolish men. He's looking at prosperous men. He's looking at those that seemingly in this world have prospered. And he gives all of these things. There's no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. And his feet almost slipped. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he almost forgot God. And can I just say, I don't think there's probably anybody in this room. And if you disagree with me, please stand up. We'll acknowledge you. We're going to get you a trophy tonight. There's some time in their walk. They've not looked at the prosperity, and they've not been envious.
Well,
if I just had, and you can fill in the blank, if I just had, and how many, if I just had a better car, if I just had a nicer car, if I just had a better house, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had more money, well, you just squander more money.
Yeah.
If you can live on what you have now, what are you going to do with the excess? You're going to squander it. You're going to blow it. If you've blown money your whole life, and now you come today and say, well, if I just had more money, I'd give to God. No, you're going to squander more money and more money and more money and more money. Eventually, there's no end to it. You see, when you look at the prosperity of the wicked and you realize their prosperity often has come from ill-gotten gain. Their prosperity comes because, listen, they don't tithe, they don't give, they don't give offerings, they don't consider others. It's take, 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 and eventually it's going to catch up with them. He's envious of the foolish, the Bible says, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's trying to oppress other people. I remember the time I've used this here, I know for certain. Use it probably at Black Creek as well. The time that, sorry, Brother Asquith, this is just what it is, but a guy had talked to him one time about getting a bigger car than the Camry that we had. And he said, Brother, you need a town car or a Cadillac. He said, your travels would make a great difference. And I remember thinking to myself, 14 hours in a Cadillac is still 14 hours in a car. You know, so am I going to sit there and covet this car and covet a Lincoln Town Car? I'm going to let you off the hook. Covet a nice Lincoln, not a Cadillac. And, you know, think that somehow this is going to change my life. This is going to better me. Or am I just getting that to impress other people? Am I just doing this or that? It's going to go, oh, look at that nice town car he has. And we start looking at the prosperity of the wicked and get our eyes off the things that really matter. It's a mark of fools. If I was just more prosperous, I'd be better. If I just had this financial burden lifted off of me, I'd be a better Christian. How silly. How foolish. If I just had a little bit of relief, Lord, if you just give me some financial relief where every day I didn't have to pray for you to feed my family, I know I'd serve you better. Your feet are already slipping. You're already almost gone. You realize we're all going to bear that financial burden, no matter how much money you have. Because it's never enough. I mean, when do you have enough money? I mean, why don't you quit your job? You got enough money, just quit. I met a girl in the airport one time. Now, Miss Honey, don't misunderstand me. I should probably start with a better sentence than that. We're traveling to the Philippines to preach. I had to be standing in line next to an Australian girl. And as she begins to speak, I realized that she probably wasn't, you know, speaking English. And so I began to try to communicate with her, and I couldn't understand her, and she couldn't understand me. But eventually we figured out that she's from Australia. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, Australians really don't speak English. She had all kinds of words I never even heard of. And I just felt impressed a little bit to just kind of share what we were doing as far as ministry, at least leave a track in her hand. And as the line continued to just be long through the customs area, began a quite a detailed conversation. I had others there with me, and they were just silent and began to talk to this young lady. And she had dedicated her life to scuba diving. And I know that just sounds silly to us, but what have you dedicated your life to? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what have you squandered your money on? I dedicated my life to eating. Let's just be honest about it. I squandered my money away on eating. I mean, my wife and I, we joke about this, but it's not something to joke about. People spend money on what they want to spend money on. And then they criticize everybody else that doesn't spend money like they do. Can you believe they bought that? But what did you buy? You know, they said, can you believe they spent their money on that? But what did you spend your money on? I mean, every one of us, we spend our money how we want to spend our money. She said, I'll go back to Australia now and I'll work for 6 months. She said, I'm their version of a financial CPO or CPA, something like that, and a financial person. And she said, I'll work for 6 months. I'll do some contracts. And she goes, I'll get enough money to go back to Thailand. I'll live in Thailand for 6 months, and I'll scuba dive in Thailand for six more months. When the tsunami hit Thailand, I thought about her for the first time in several years. And I remember thinking of the season. We had seen her in the end of January. She was coming back from Thailand. And I thought, you know, that young lady might very well have been in Thailand living her life to scuba dive. That's what her life was. She worked to scuba dive. It's always stuck with me all these years, the foolishness of people and what they live their life for, thinking that somehow if they just get a little bit more money, their life will be better. If they just have a little more gain, their life will be better. And listen, I'm saying this as a generality. How many people say, if I just retire, life will be better. If I can just get the kids out of the house, life will be better. You know, if I can just do this, life will be better. Your life's not going to get better because circumstances change.
Amen.
Circumstances have never bettered anybody, and that includes the fool and the foolish and the fool's heart. Secondly, would you go to Proverbs chapter 8? In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says this. He says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And then he said this, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Can I say, secondly, a mistake that a fool makes? He thinks that doing better will make him better. If he thinks that doing better, can I say this, will make his heart better. I'm a good person. How many people say that? Everybody has a different idea of what a good person ought to be. I feed the poor, therefore I'm a good person. I give the indigent, therefore I'm a good person. Well, what about people that support Planned Parenthood and they think they're doing it right? They say, I'm a good person. I support Planned Parenthood. I run a bar, and on Thanksgiving we have free beer. That's their idea of being a good person. They think their good deeds is going to better their heart. They think their good deeds are going to better their standing. So he said, you fools, be of an understanding heart. The heart's not going to get better without understanding. The heart's not going to get any better until you gain understanding of the knowledge of the Holy One of Israel. And when you gain that knowledge and gain that understanding, then your heart can be better. There's nothing we can do to better the heart outside of the Lord. Probably the biggest thrift stores in our area are the pet thrift stores. Why? Because people love puppies and kitties. They love dogs and cats. So they donate because I know personally have known somebody that left their entire estate, which wasn't much, but they left it to an animal shelter. Why? Because they hated people. And they're thinking, I'm doing good. I'm bettering myself. I'm helping puppies and kitties. And a lady came to our yard sale, and a friend of ours at church asked us to try to give her dog away. And so we had a flyer out of our yard sale, and it was, you know, this dog needs a home, and, you know, would you like to take this day? She had some things about it, and this lady just came up, and I mean, she oohed and aahed and got teary-eyed, and she goes, oh, he lives outside. But did she concern herself with the 1.7 million Americans that slept outside last night?
That's right.
That's what's in America. Did she consider those in the city living on steam vents? Did she consider those in the city living in the bull rushes and those hiding under bridges and those sleeping between buildings? Was there any consideration to them, or is it this bleeding heart idea that if I help a puppy, I'm going to make myself, but I'll be a better person if I help a puppy? Now, that a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, that means he regards his life. He's not just going to mistreat it. He's not going to cause ill will to that beast. He's absolutely not going to. But can I say to you, a human life always outweighs an animal's life. God has a concern over people. God takes care of the animals. He feeds the sparrows every day. He feeds them every day, takes care of the animals every day. God has given men dominion over those animals. There are animals that would starve if men did not feed them, and that righteous man is required to make sure his beast is taken care of. But how much more God considers people? But people think because they do good, it's going to be a feel-good for them. They think because they've done this deed, they think it's such a good thing. It's going to be this little act of kindness, and it's going to better their heart. That's what fools believe. That's what fools act on. Proverbs 9 and 6, would you turn there with me? The Lord tells us to forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Proverbs chapter 14. I'll read two verses in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The folly of, as a fool returneth to his folly, what is the folly he returns to time and time again is deceit. That's why he's a fool, is deceit. He thinks all of these things are going to better him, and all of these things are going to make him wiser and make him sound wiser. That's why with his much speaking, he tries to convince men. With his words, he tries to convince men. That's why he outwardly tries to convey that he's a good person, but inwardly his heart's never changed. Yeah. Because he's deceived. It's a mark of a fool that they're deceived. Yet, you try to convince a fool of their ways, and they'll laugh thee to scorn. Next verse says, fools make a mock at sin. But among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 24 and verse 7. The Bible said, wisdom is too high for a fool. Wisdom is too high for a fool. They can't obtain wisdom because it's over their head. They have their idea of what life is, and their idea, everybody has a model of what their life is constructed on, their upbringing, the influences, how they've been taught, how school has taught them, how their parents have taught them, the experiences of life. Every one of us has those in our life. Every one of us has a different model. But you see, the model is the Bible.
Yes.
And that's why fools make a mock at sin, because they don't want to believe God. They say, well, this will make me better. This will make me... You know, how many people today in America killed their babies and said, this will make me better? I won't have to pay daycare. I won't have to have this scourge of a child in my womb. I won't have to bear the reproach of this child. I won't have to miss work. I'll be able to gain money because I won't have to take maternity leave and all the gain that goes with that. And they said, you know, this will better me. This will make me a better person. This will elevate me. This will just give me a little bit of an edge in life. I made the right decision. But then they got to sleep at night. And they got to sleep with their conscience at night. And they got to sleep with what they've done at night. They cannot obtain wisdom because their own thinking has hidden wisdom from them. They make a mock at sin. Wisdom is too high for them. In chapter 24, in verse 7, he said, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Proverbs 26 and verse 12, right after our text verse. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. A man is wise in his own conceit. There's no hope of a fool than there is for that man. Proverbs chapter 12, we'll digress slightly here in the Proverbs chapter 12. I'm talking about they think doing good is going to better them. They think that their works are going to better them. They think that their wisdom is so much wiser, but they're fools. They've said in their heart, there is no God, and that's a fool. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. It comes out of their heart. It proclaims their foolishness. They will have no doubt, undoubtedly, with their words and with their conversation. They will proclaim their foolishness, that they're an absolute fool in denying the very work of God, the very person of God, and the very actions of God. And they will deny it through their foolishness of their actions of fools. Why? Because there's no heart to it. Their heart is a fool's heart. That's why that dog returneth to its vomit, so a fool returneth to its folly. His folly is deceit. And he'll return to that deceit time and time and time again. I've seen people with red-rimmed eyes, completely stoned out of their mind, life ruined, can't keep a job, living on government assistance. I've seen them look me in the eye and go, man, there ain't nothing wrong with smoking the herb of the earth, bro. I had a man told me this. He names the name of Christ. He said, God gave us the herb of the earth. I said, God made poison ivy too. Puff away, smart guy.
That's right.
Puff away, genius. Why? Because his own deceit. His heart's proclaiming foolishness. Why? Because his heart's deceived. This is making me a better person. No, ask the people around you, fool. Ask the people that know you, fool. Listen, don't surround yourself with people like you. Go find people with integrity. Go find people with character. Go find people that have a life that resembles normalcy, that resembles Leave It to Beaver, that resembles 1950s black and white television. Ask those people what they think about you.
Yes, sir.
But you know what we do? We go down to the convenience store and we ask the girl behind the counter, what do you think about me? Oh man, I love your look, man. Yeah, I love your hair, man. It's all messed up. And yeah, I love purple, man. It looks great, you know. Why? The deceit of the heart.
Yeah.
Recently in a store, the waitress, or in a restaurant, the waitress says to this lady, she says, I love your tattoo. And the lady says, I hate it. The girl's like, well, I like it. She goes, well, and she names some guy that paid for it, and they're broke up now, so she hates it. It's normal.
Yes, sir.
Go ask the people that aren't like you. Can I say to you Christians, go ask the people that aren't like you what they think about you. Go ask your lost neighbors what you are.
Yes, sir.
If you dare. Go ask the people you do business with what you are. See if they wrongfully identify you. Hey, what do you think about me? Now listen, if they tear you down based on your belief in Jesus Christ, then you just square your shoulders up and you rejoice greatly. But if they tear you down because of character flaws, because of foolishness, you ought to hang your head in shame.
Yes. Yes,
You see, people have created what the new normal is, and the new normal means nothing's normal. Everything's weird, everything's obtuse, everything's up, but then everybody is now weird. That's the new normal. It's still normal. Yeah. Just being honest with you. They said, I know, I'm going to try a new piercing. Trust me, 15,000 other people have done it. I'll be the only one that has a piercing through my eyeball. No, there'll be other people. You remember this, I don't know if you remember, those colored contacts came out that had like cat's eyes. And there were some of those girls, you know, would say, you know, I'm going to be the first one, I'm going to be the first one to get them. And it's all over, you know, these cat's eyes contacts. And they all went and got cat eye contacts. And everybody looks like a cat. They got these goofy looking yellow eyes. And I'm the only one, but everybody had them. They all had them. Why? Because they're fools. Then they all got eye infections because the diet, it turns out, caused eye infections. There's class action lawsuits, and you only think you can buy them anymore. How foolish. I'm going to be different. But it's the norm. You know what's different today? Being clean cut.
Yes, sir.
Wearing decent clean clothes.
That's helpless.
Talking without cursing. Open a door for a lady passing through a door and saying, thank you, please, ma'am, sir. You want to be different, do that.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You want to be different today? Don't vape.
Yeah.
You want to be different today? Don't chew. You want to be different today? Don't drink. That's the norm. I've heard men brag, nobody can outdrink me. They're both dead. Nobody outdrank them. Fools. Foolish speech.
Yes.
Well, let's read a couple more verses here if we could. Proverbs chapter 17. Again, it's a matter of the heart. He returns to his folly, thinking it's going to better him. But in verse 16 to chapter 17, he says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? He has no heart to get wisdom. I'm content living this life. When I was coming up, you all have heard me say this, and I probably said it this week, I believe, but I grew up in what they call a redneck culture. Don't blame me for it. It's what I grew up in. I don't fault you for the culture you grew up in. I grew up in a redneck culture. It doesn't mean that I was a redneck. I just grew up in a redneck culture. Tank tops and cut-off blue jeans were the norm. Rednecks go to the river or they go to the lake. Why? Because that's what rednecks do. What do? You jump in the river. You swim. You catfish. You try to drown each other. You throw rocks at each other. You hunt salamanders. You frog. Guess what rednecks do? We get out of the river and everybody down at the river all looks the same. Flannel shirt, sleeves ripped off, jean shorts, flip-flops. I'm just telling you the truth now. All along the river at night, there's lanterns all up and down the riverbank. Every one of them's going catfishing. But you see, every one of them, that's what their heart is. They don't know any different. I grew up on the West Virginia-Maryland line, and we were the Marylanders. We were superior. We were smarter, better. Had more teeth, were stronger, just all of those things. We just had such an advantage over the West Virginia shore, and we flaunted that. Would yell across the river and make fun of the West Virginians, and they'd garble back, and you know they couldn't talk right, and you know, he just went back and forth. But you realize both sides of the river, that was just normal life to them. But if you walked up and down to those campsites on the river at night and went lantern to lantern up and down the banks of that river, and you offered those people wisdom, would they take it? No. Why? Because there's no heart to have understanding. You can walk up to a redneck, and by the way, you can apply your culture in the redneck culture because it's universal across cultures. It doesn't matter if you're in a Western New York culture, if you're a lake culture, redneck culture, city culture, it doesn't matter where it is. But you walk up and down to those lanterns, and you say, I have some wisdom and some understanding for you. Would you like to hear it? They might say, sure, but as soon as you start to talk, they're going to shut you off. Why? Because they know everything. They know all the answers. They don't need wisdom. And if you don't believe me, ask them. They'll tell you. I said this many times in the streets of Baltimore, in the ministry, the homeless ministry, dealing with homeless people. I'll give you an example of something that just happened 2 weeks ago. And dealing with the homeless and begin to converse and talk with them and try to get them. And every one of them begins to just open their mouth and pours out foolishness. And you say, hold on a second, I have something that would help you. And they can't stop talking long enough to stop spouting out foolishness. And this is not with arrogance or pride I say this. But I want to say, I have a home I live in. I drove here in my car. I have food on my table. I have clean clothes. I have shaved and showered today. I at least have an air of respectability to a point. And that's not some kind of arrogance. It's just the reality. Your appearance degrades your respectability or increases your respectability based upon your appearance. And that's just a fact. We went there presentable to them. And I'd stand there and try to converse with them. And every one of them told me what they believed about God, what they believed about church, what they believed about religion. But as soon as you open your mouth, they shut you off like a switch. Why? There's no heart to get understanding. And here they are at the bottom. Here they are. I'm in the dregs of society, living on the streets of Baltimore, one of the worst cities, one of the murder capitals of the United States. And you open your mouth to talk, and they got everything to say. Why? There's no heart. Why can't some of you reach your family? There's no heart to it.
Yes.
You see, a fool followeth his own heart. A fool lets his heart guide him. My heart is telling me. My heart has showed me. The Bible says a fool followeth his own heart. That's why a lot of people get married and destroy their marriages, because they're following their heart. You realize with some people, it's just as flippant as she's good looking. Okay. My heart's telling me to marry her. And if you want to get upset with me, go ahead. Just go ahead and get out of your system now. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I hear Christian people talking about soulmates. How foolish.
Yes, sir.
How silly. You're not a soulmate. You're one flesh.
That's exactly right.
You see, soulmates, you could drive a wedge between soulmates because they're just like little pen pal buddies or something. Like, you could drive a wedge. One flesh, pretty hard to drive a wedge between.
Yes.
Lady said, my husband and I are just soulmates. I'm like, oh. That sounds good on paper, but really the reality is they probably have severe marriage problems. That's why she has to say that, to convince herself that they really get along. If you'd submit yourself to being one flesh with your husband and being a helpmeet to your husband, you wouldn't think of it as a soulmate. You'd think of it as a partnership. You'd think of yourself as a helpmeet. Oh, we're just soulmates. We're just drifting around this sea of soulmateism. And I am mocking, by the way. I just want to clarify that. I'm making fun of that. Just in case you're wondering. You ought to marry because it's God's will.
Yeah.
You ought to marry because God puts two people together. Ah, we get along so well. Well, I get along with a lot of people, but I only married one.
Good, brother. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get off that. Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord.
What does that mean? His heart is just continually, in very small segments, very small pieces, just going against God continually.
It didn't start out this bad. It might have started out singing songs in Sunday school. It might have started out having a form of religion. It might have started out as an innocent child. Then the fool's heart began to just gnaw.
Began to just chew. Began to fret. Began to just bit by bit and piece by piece begin to go against God.
And it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And now people hate God. They despise God. They hate religion. They curse God. Why? Because they've let their heart deceive them. And it's just grown to the place now where it's continually against God. But the first part of that verse says, it's the foolishness of man perverteth his way. If he, the Lord, knows the heart,
He tries it, he knows it, and he gives every man according to his way. If God has given us according to his way, then how does the foolishness of man pervert his way? Continually it perverteth his way. It's an ongoing process. It perverteth his way because God gives him according to that way. And his way is perverse. Can I say this? There's no morality code in a perverse man or a perverse woman. There's no morality code. Why? Because there's not a God to hinder them. There's not a God to interfere with them. They don't want restraint. They don't want somebody to impede. They don't want somebody to stand in their way and impede what they want to do. Howbeit, how dare this man they call God from the Bible stand in my way to stop me, to put me in my tracks, to put me in my place? How dare he? I'll curse him. Why? Because their way is perverse. They not only have sin, they love sin. So they return to their folly. Time and time again, they return to the deceit of their folly. Proverbs 28 and 26, I quoted this earlier, but let me just read this verse. He that trusteth in his heart, in his own heart rather, is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So he trusts in his own heart. He's a fool. Why? Because my heart knows more than God. I'll just trust my heart. The Bible said this, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Why? I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. Why? My heart is telling me, get more. Get more. Bigger pension. Better retirement. More gain. More lands. More buildings. I'm going to obtain more and more and more. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Everything you've obtained is gone. Everything you worked for is gone. Everything you bought is gone. Thou fool. So Jesus asked this question. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Many years in street preaching, I really only had one message because it was such a brief, as a car went by, as a pedestrian went by, a brief message that I could preach. As people would gape out the windows and mock out the windows and mock walking by, I'd simply ask this, what would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you exchange for your soul? As they scoff and mock at the preaching and mock at God and mock at the saints of God, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Can I fast forward that and look at the double side of that question? What would you give in exchange for your soul 100 years from tonight? What would you give in exchange for your soul on the backside after you die? What would you give in exchange? I would say any one of us would probably give anything we ever had if we die lost without Christ. We'd give everything we had for one more opportunity to hear, one more opportunity to believe, one more opportunity of repentance. We'd give everything we had.
Yes.
But Jesus on the front side said, what will you give in exchange for your soul? You the living, you that are here, you that are with us, what would you give in exchange for your soul? A little bit more money, a little bit more of the world's wisdom, a little bit of popularity, more friends, better friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives. What would you give in exchange for your soul? You see, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What profit is there? There's no heart to understanding.
The heart's desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. The heart is saying, I want to understand. I want to understand. The heart is saying, you want to understand. You want to understand. But the Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the fool returned to his folly. Why? Just like that dog returns to his vomit. He doesn't know any better. I'm not being crude or funny. I'm just being honest. I joke with the Vadises. It's kind of a joke, but it's not really funny. I come down with a bag of dirty diapers. I'll say, you want me to give these to Leo? You want me to throw them in the trash? In the morning, Sharon Vadis said, oh, they'll be gone in a few minutes. You give them to Leo. You know why? He's a dog. It wouldn't faze him to eat a dirty diaper. Why? Because he's a dog. You realize it wouldn't faze a fool to return to folly no matter how destructive it is because he's a fool.
That's right.
A fool could stand in a mud puddle and hold onto an electric fence. And though it's shocking him and shocking his heart and hurting him physically, he'd go right back up and grab that electric fence again. Why? Because he's a fool.
Yes.
A fool will crawl out of bed with somebody they're not married to. And they'll hurt, and they'll lament, and they'll weep, and they'll shed tears. But what do? They go right back to it again because they're a fool.
Yes.
A fool will come off the end of a crack pipe. When he comes off his high, the pain in the chest, and the agony, and the suffering, and the loss of income, and the loss of health, and knowing his life's destroyed, and often they'll cry out for help, and they'll plead for help. Would somebody help me? They'll try clinics, they'll try dryouts, they'll try meds, they'll try everything they can, but they, what do? They end up on the end of the crack pipe, returning to their folly. Why? Because they are a fool! I know a man today, he's a missionary in Thailand.
He said three times he died with a needle in his arm. He had a buddy that worked in a hospital could steal Narcan back in the 90s, and they'd load up the entire south side of Baltimore just in case somebody OD'd, and they'd start yelling around, and somebody would come running in and stab him in hopes he would survive. He said three times he got stabbed, but he was probably legally dead, overdosed on heroin. And he said, Brother McVeigh, I never figured out why. I just keep going back and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. He said, I could not quit. I could not stop. He said, I loved it so much.
He said, return to his folly. Return to his sin. The things that destroy us, the things we seem to love so much. How many men have been destroyed by a woman or women, and yet they run to women, they chase women?
They follow, you think they've learned? No. Their lust is too great. Their foolishness is too great. Their heart is given to foolishness.
So they go chase women. Can't get enough. How many women have just become so desperate for men because they just return to that same folly time and time and time again? You've heard Pastor Asquith say many times, they finally get to the place they just cannot stick to a man. They fall apart, they turn to other avenues. Anything they can.
They destroy themselves by returning to that folly. Return to that folly. Return to that folly.
But they think that folly someday is going to make them better. You realize this world is full of people who live a pipe dream. They're dreamers. They dream of more income. They dream of better finances. They dream of hitting the big one. You realize people go to these casinos around here and you know, they only publish the big winner in the newspaper. They only publish the big winner, the guy that hits the jackpot. They don't tell you about the thousands of people that have gone home broke, and their children have gone hungry, and their spouses have gone hungry, and they've destroyed their families because of gain. But yet they go back to that folly time and time and time again. I've seen them outside the convenience store scratching off those tickets, barely a stitch of clothes on, just filthy, ragged, wretched. but they found a dollar to run into, to find a dream and find a financial freedom at the end of a penny. How foolish. How silly. If I can just scratch off these numbers, and they return to that folly time and time again, it destroys them.
But someday, it's going to happen. Someday, it'll be the right one. I know if I date enough girls, someday I'll find the right one.
If I date enough guys, someday I'll find the right one. Someday I'll have my last, you know, crack. I'll have my last smack. Someday I'll have my last, joint. Someday I'll have my last bong. I mean, someday I'll find satisfaction. Someday it'll fulfill me. Someday I'll find happiness. Thou fool. What if your soul's required of you? What if your soul's required? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you trade? You see, that little follies in most people's lives, and they return to it, and they return to it, and it's destroying them. But they're so foolish, they can't stop. They can't stop. They can't stop. When I was very young, I'll date myself, but that's okay. I'm not going to lie about my age. The arcades were just coming in mainstream. For you old timers, Centipede, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. And all of a sudden, one day, Donkey Kong Jr. Pinball was out, the arcade was in. And I'd watch this generation stand there and just shovel coins in those machines. I mean, shoveling them in. Finally, the store owner told us, he said, boys, you all buy a soda, I'll give you free plays. Well, that didn't last long. Amen. He was thinking like one or two free plays. We were thinking, right, we're in here 8 hours a day. And we just stand there and shovel money. And we would do anything we could to get quarters to shove in that machine. And we'd do anything we could to get free play. We'd do anything we could to get a free game. I would do anything we could. We'd unplug the machine in the middle of a game, plug it back in, and it would reset, and your quarter would pop back on the screen. You get a free play. The owner would come yell at us. But we just stand there. Now, here's the problem. We're 11, 12 years old. Now transfer that to a 30-year-old. They just can't stop. We were children. We needed our rear ends whipped. Don't let that bother you. My mom needed to come drag me out of the store, but she didn't know where I was. We were children. We weren't adults. Now you find a 30-year-old. He's up all night. He can't stop playing whatever the new game is. He's up all night because he's just stuck in this game. He's just addicted to this game, and he cannot sleep at night. And he returns to it time and time. You say, why is that an example? Because I know a man who was 32 years old making $90,000 a year and got fired because he couldn't come to work because he played video games all night. Brilliant. When I say brilliant, his mind was brilliant, but how foolish. They kept warning him, saying, if you keep coming in late, we're going to have to let you go. You keep coming. He was a brilliant computer programmer. He stayed up all night playing video games and lost a $90,000 a year job as a computer programmer. He'd forget to bathe. They'd say, you just smell. I'm sorry, guys. I forgot to shower this morning. He'd come in bleary. I was up till 7 o'clock this morning, man. Sorry, I had to get some sleep. Sorry, I was late. He's at his desk to drink 15 Mountain Dews. He's already 400 pounds. Drink 15 Mountain Dews to help his obesity. And he just sit there at his desk. And I remember at one point, just finally, just dawned on him, this guy is a fool. Sure enough, just me and him one day in the cubicles before he got fired. I stopped and I just talked to him. He said, I wanted to invite you to church. He cursed me. I said, yeah, that's his problem. He has said in his heart, there is no God. He's destroying his life because he doesn't believe there's a God. He's destroying his home because he doesn't believe there's a God. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. That returneth bears this connotation. It's going to happen over and over and over and over. Luke Cassiola.
That reminded me, when I worked at the Boone County Jail, we had a man in there for murder.